This is Casey Currents, and I'm Susan Wilson.
And I'm Sylvia Maria Gross.
This summer on Casey Currents, we're starting a series looking at some odd jobs in the Kansas City area. It's a chance to break out from the desk, cubicle, or cash register and find out about some of the more unusual ways people make a living. Today, Sylvia takes us to Greenwood, Missouri, near Lee's Summit, where a local daredevil took his childhood love of creepy crawly things and turned it into a business.
Dana Savarelli moved to this green 10-acre plot of land in 1996 to get a little peace away from the hustle and bustle and sounds of the city. No, that's not a car alarm or a siren. That's a pair of blonde-colored gibbon apes just singing away. They're two of the more than 200 creatures that Savarelli keeps here in a kind of sanctuary for exotic animals. Among other animals, he has alligators, ostriches, sloths, and lemurs.
We're almost an old folks' home for some of these animals to have somewhere to go and be.
Not your typical household pets, but many of them were someone's pets until their owners realized they couldn't take care of them or they got confiscated by police or animal control.
A lot of these guys, you know, if they're going to get put down or have nowhere to go, they don't have much of a choice. So it gives us a chance to kind of intervene and give them a little bit of life, hopefully.
Savarelli has dozens of monkeys, macaques and baboons, even some rare endangered species. They live in this long structure, two or three to a room, with indoor and outdoor cages that they can move between.
They want to shake those cages and show the other ones in the other cages who's boss, and, you know, they're playing the game back and forth all day.
Savarelli warns me against getting too close, but in his sleeveless shirt and camouflage pants, the rugged 51-year-old reaches through the wire and caresses the cheek of an adorable little capuchin. She has a halo of tan fur surrounding her face.
Oh, hello, honey. Oh, yes.
Dana Savarelli's affection for animals dates back to his childhood.
We kind of grew up in the hood, I guess you would say.
On the east side near Truman Road.
And I always went out catching snakes and always looking for snakes and in the woods all the time, you know, to mess with snakes.
Where over there by Truman Road would you kind of look for snakes?
There was a little area that was behind Cash Bargain Lumber Company at the time that was nothing more than maybe an acre and a half, but it seemed like a complete rainforest to us because we were just little kids. And that's where we would, you know, eventually ride motorcycles in that area. We went looking for snakes. That was what we knew as the woods, you know, for us in the city like that.
Snakes ended up being the key to his education.
I remember my mom told me that I would have trouble with reading and stuff. And so she'd always tell the kindergarten teacher and stuff as I was learning these things, you know, he just won't do anything but read the snake books. He doesn't want to read anything else. So they just said, keep feeding him the snake books because eventually that will get him past it and he'll know how to read.
And that love of snakes also ended up leading to his success as an entrepreneur.
Back then, we was punching on an old typewriter, and I would write up and I would make up a business called Monkeys and Exotics. And they didn't know that I was a 12-year-old kid. They thought I was an import-exporter. And I would literally have monkeys flown in from Florida, from all over, and they thought they were dealing with a pretty big business. I remember, to give you an idea, and this was in the 12, 13-year-old range, because I was too young to drive. My brother would take me to the airport to pick up ferrets. Nowadays, ferrets are a reasonably common animal in the pet trade, but back then they sure wasn't. And I would put an ad in the paper, and they were $20 a piece. I would take $10 deposits. It cost me $10 to buy the animal. I would have them flown in. They would pick them up the same day I got them all down here, and I would double my money off that situation just like that. And I'd have to have him take me to the airport because I wasn't old enough to go to the airport. That's the way I was wheeling and dealing animals at that time.
As a teenager, one of Savarelli's most notorious clients was none other than Bob Burdella, the Kansas City serial killer who was convicted of raping, torturing, and killing at least six young men in the 1980s.
I don't know that any of that was going on at the time, of course, but yeah, I mean, I could have been in a situation that I didn't come back from. Me personally, never had a problem with him.
Savarelli is drawn to the most dangerous enterprises, and without ever attending college, he's managed to turn his daredevil interests into a lucrative career. He was a competitive skydiver, so then he ran a skydiving school in Harrison, Missouri. He's been a bounty hunter and a pilot, but it was with snakes that he hit on his most successful business, and not buying or selling them either, but handling them. Savarelli leads me into a room with a desk, a fan blowing, and a couple dozen cages stacked on top of one another, lining two walls.
A lot of people won't keep the really top deadly snakes, and these three cages right here are the number one deadliest snake in the world. The taipans, we've got black mambas, which are probably the most feared and largest venomous snake in Africa. Lots of cobra species, gaboon vipers, rattlesnakes of several different species.
Is this your office right here?
Yeah. Yeah, this is it.
So you like sitting with the snakes?
Well, if I'm out here around them all the time, we can keep close eye on them because this is the kind of animal you couldn't have an escape on. And the door, as you see, has three locks on it. There's a multiple of alarm systems set up for this building. And so we just can't have any kind of escapes.
Savarelli says he's never been bit, but he keeps anti-venom serum in stock at all times. He says it's his concern for safety, both his and that of the animals, that led him to start tinkering with the tools that people use to handle snakes, hooks and tongs.
It was back in the 80s. There was only a couple of places that you could buy any kind of snake handling equipment. It was literally a tong, and a lot of those tongs were used to pick fruit, pick apples out of trees and stuff.
Savarelli saw an opportunity there, and by the late 1990s, his company, Midwest Tongs, had become a leading manufacturer of snake handling implements and a go-to source for zoos, scientists, and TV stations. You really wouldn't want a snake handling hook to break. That's why Savarelli says he uses lightweight but extremely durable materials, the type of stuff airplanes are made of. And he says that makes the difference in terms of keeping the handlers safe and the animals as comfortable as possible. He pulls out an albino monocle cobra to show me how it works.
This snake here is mainly very food aggressive, which means when that cage door opens, she's going to probably want to fly right out of there and bite anything that moves because she's thinking it's time to eat.
Wait, so what do I do?
You don't have to do nothing. Let me deal with it. You just stand there and watch.
Okay, she's not going to fly at me.
No.
He handles the thin 9-foot snake with a hook. That's the expert's tool.
You're starting to hood up now?
He drops her into a big blue trash container and hands me the tongs.
All you're going to do is you're going to grab her about, usually I tell people around mid-body, but it depends on how long the snake is, because the most important thing is we got to figure out how far could she reach you, because as long as she can only get to here, you're safe no matter what.
So near the front.
So I would say maybe in her case about the third of the body, but you don't want to squeeze real hard, and I'll show you. I'll just reach here. Mm-hmm. You're fine. And see how it grips and holds?
Oh,
and
yeah.
all we'll do is we'll grip and hold her. She'll get mad. You don't have to squeeze hard. We'll stick her in the cage.
I try to hold her gently enough not to hurt her, but firmly enough so that she doesn't strike at me. And needless to say, I'm kind of freaked out. Savarelli says a little bit of fear is good for me. It's kind of his mantra. He believes in managed risk. His business has gone on to design specialized tools for handling other animals, like guns that shoot nets from airplanes to catch deer, or tiny tongs that can pull debris out of the stomachs of dolphins. And most of his profits, Savarelli says, go to support the sanctuary. In a tiny pond near the entrance to his land, Dana Savarelli has built a little island, ruled by a dinosaur statue surrounded by six lemurs. Now, they're small primates, native to Madagascar, with orange eyes and ringed tails that make them look kind of like a cross between a bear, a monkey, and a raccoon. Savarelli likes to row out here on most days and feed them grapes by hand. He also brings the monkeys out here for recreation. Neighbors have started calling it Monkey Island, and they just show up.
I don't have time to mess with them because it's not a public thing, but they can drive by. That's a public street, and they can see the monkeys playing out there. You'll see the fire department park out here. You'll see police cars parked out here. You'll see multiple groups of motorcyclists come down here and park and just hang out and talk and just relax and see the monkeys 50 feet away from them. People aren't paying a dime to get to, come by and put a smile on their face when they leave.
Dana Savarelli owns Midwest Tongs, a company that manufactures snake handling tools, and he runs the nonprofit Monkey Island Rescue and Zoological Sanctuary, both in Greenwood, Missouri. If you have any other ideas for our odd job segment on Casey Currents, send us a note at caseycurrents@kcur.org.
See Dana Savarelli handle a snake with his specialized tongs, and see the rest of the animals in his sanctuary in a slideshow on our website at kcur.org/caseycurrents. And if you can't hear all of Casey Currents today, you can always listen to the rest of the show online in our audio archives. And we've got a podcast. Find us at kcur.org or on iTunes.